Welcome to the Be Encouraged podcast. And if this is your first time pushing play, I want you to know that you are so welcomed here. I am your host, Jackie Brindle. I am a mom of three, wife, teacher, blogger, speaker, and I do like to run. We all need a little encouragement on the good and not so good days to lift us up and onward. That's my hope for you, that you will be so encouraged and know that with God, nothing is impossible. Welcome back to the Be Encouraged podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Brindle, and you're listening to episode 105. I want to say thank you, and I appreciate you for pressing play today and joining in on the Be Encouraged podcast community. You know, last episode, I mentioned a new schedule for the airing of each episode, but with some unforeseen circumstances like life takes us, including me taking on a doctorate courses in strategic leadership at Liberty University Online, it has made it quite challenging, you guys, to maintain the podcast, family, school, everything, teaching. So I'm going to pull back the reins on the Be Encouraged podcast and bring it to a halt until March, around springtime, and then air some other podcasts that I have lined up. I know that's a bummer. I love being able to encourage you from week to week, but this is just definitely one of those things I even learned from our guest speaker, Amy Thurston, that I need to just take some time to really just take that mental inventory, that check, so that I don't get burned out. And I think that's one of those topics that we were talking about in our episode that you're going to listen to, because as a leader, Amy Thurston is a co-founder, president, chief executive officer of Openspire Love, a nonprofit organization. Let me tell you, being a CEO, she talks a lot about leadership. And one of the things that really helped me into just compartmentalizing what I need to do for the podcast was her mentioning that we don't want to burn ourselves out and stress ourselves out, but there's a timing for everything and trusting in that and what God has for us. And so right now I am taking a little sabbatical, but I will be back in full swing, believe me, come March in springtime. But in the meantime, you get to listen to my dear friend, Amy Thurston. We give you a mouthful anyway. We just love to chat. I feel like we are just kindred spirits as we are just talking to one another. It feels like we could just pick up right where we left off, and we only met a few times. So it's just so exciting that you all get to listen on that seat conversation, as she is so passionate about leading this organization, Hope, Inspire, Love, you know, especially with daily operations and strategic planning efforts. And she's also a seasoned executive, so she's guiding these missions of eradicating human trafficking and sexual exploitation, empowering survivors of sex trafficking to flourish and thrive. And fueling this passion of hers is for justice. She spent nearly two decades building innovative programs that apply a social justice lens to young adults, teens experiencing trauma, and by empowering survivors to outgrow the label, quote unquote, survivor, and fostering their strengths. And she has cultivated these critical efforts, let me just tell you, by uplifting, inspiring, and encouraging. And when you listen to her, you'll know it firsthand that she wants people to reach their best potential. And she currently spearheads the Hope Inspire Love's trauma-informed mentorship program. So she is also a mentor and has developed that program to where she's helping other women, other survivors of sex trafficking and sex exploitation. So she also sits on a board as well as Greenlight Operation, and a nonprofit that strategically combats human trafficking. You know, I'm giving you a whole bunch of mouthfuls, but I will tell you, this woman is fierce. This woman is a leader, and I just think she is your going to encourage you and educate you, because I think encouragement is education, right? We when we are encouraged, or when we're educated, we are encouraged to go above and beyond, right? What we are called to do. So can't wait for you all to saddle up, grab your cup of coffee, get on your walk or run, and be encouraged. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the episode of the Be Encouraged podcast. I am so beyond happy to have our guest speaker today. Welcome, Amy. I'm so glad to have you here.
Yes, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you, Jackie. I feel like we're long lost friends already, so this is wonderful.
I love it when this happens, you guys. We're all going to be in the same boat. Everyone listening is going to feel like you're my buddy too, like we've been friends forever. So And I love that you guys will get that feel, because that definitely she could be my friend and we're going to go shopping one day together. It's going to be fun. But
that's right.
That's right. Before we jump in, why don't we peel some things back here and let people know what you do, what you like to do for fun, and tell us a bit more who you are.
Sure. I'm Amy Thurston. I am the co-founder of Hope Inspire Love. We are a anti-trafficking organization in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. We are all about community impact, faith-centered, reaching our community through education, awareness, prevention, and outreach, as well as our My Heartbeat, our trauma-informed mentorship program for survivors in the community. And I just love people. So I think one thing since a kid and even in my teenage years, I always was like, God, what is the calling on my life? Like, I know you have something specific for me. I remember in eighth grade, clearly hearing the Lord said, I've called you to love people. And, you know, in college, though, you're trying to be like, well, what degree do you decide on for, you know, I don't think there's a degree for loving people, you know, so it was kind of fun, like searching that out. So I am a lover of people, community, relationships. If you meet me, I'm a very touchy feely person. So when COVID happened, not being able to hug, like I was like taking my foot and rubbing against people's legs. Sounds really weird, but it was one of those things of like, I wanted people to know that they were loved in a season where people were so distant. And so for me, yeah. So for me, for fun is relationships, community, and being crazy, like just being spontaneous and not having to be so rigid and follow rules. And I don't mean that in a bad way, in a good way.
Yeah, no, I love that. A good heaping of fun. I think we all need that in our life to like live and with excitement and in wonder, right? With life. So I love that. Absolutely. And there's so many great things that you're doing there. And I love that you said there's no degree for love, but I didn't want to go this route. I didn't have this question planned, but I love that you said this because, you know, so much of what you do with Hope Inspire Love, and we're going to get to that in just a moment, but just the way you want to live life reminds me so much of when Jesus told us to love our neighbors, you know, and, you know, people asked him like, well, you know, how much do you want, like, what's our neighbor, you know? And he's like, well, think about this way, this, you know, priest walks by and, you know, it's the parable of the Samaritan person and how the priest walks by and this person who just got robbed and beaten, and he's like, and walks away. And then there's the Samaritan who, you know, they're not Jews. People would think that maybe Jews don't like Samaritans, but here the Samaritan came and Jesus told us that the Samaritan fed him, clothed him, you know, bandaged him up and gave him a house. So he felt better. And then he told everybody, he's like, listen, what do you think is the better neighbor? And I love that he said, just choose mercy and love. And I think that right there is so good what you do, because it's the same thing, like just show mercy and love through the things that you do in life. And, you know, sometimes I think, you know, we get to points in our lives where we come to doors where we want to show mercy and love, but we're not received love in the same way and doors are closed.
Right.
And, you know, life has doors that open and they close. And I think, has there been something like that that's happened to you? Because I think a lot of people can relate to that. Doors opening, doors closing. Someone wanting to give what they have to give, but they just don't know, is this the right door to go through or not? And has that happened to you at all?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my word, numerous times. And I feel like one time my pastor had me be one of the speaking preachers. Like we had like a, how do you say it? It was a 5-minute preaching. So there was different people that was speaking for 5 minutes. It was like tag on, tag off. It was really fun. And he said, I feel like you've been through so much life, Amy, in such a young age. I feel like there's so many different things you could speak about. And I really had a hard time like pinning down, like, what do I speak about? Because I have been through a lot and so many doors that have opened and so many doors that have closed. But I've never lost my faith through any of it. I feel like it's always that reminder that if we're holding on to the Lord and we're holding on to God's best in his direction for our lives, like, how can we not trust what he has? And so there's so many different ones that I would say, but I think one of the newer ones for us is like Hope Inspire Love came out of a passion of my husband and an experience that he had. And I'm sure we're getting into this a little bit later, but when that happened, we had just gone through a season of doors closing for us that was unexpected. And we gave our heart and soul into ministry and the door closed without us even planning that. And it was really hard because we were being obedient to the Lord where we were. And it was kind of like, sometimes we get comfortable, you know, we get comfortable in the seasons that we're in and we're not doing anything wrong and it can still be God ordained, but sometimes we have to get a little uncomfortable and allow that uncomfortableness to happen for God to show us the next season. And so in that, when we were in the season of a door closing for us and not knowing what was next, I remember laying in bed one night and I was sobbing and my husband's like, "What's wrong?" And I was like, I can't help people anymore. Like, my job was taken, you know, the season was gone. And I didn't know what to do because I was like, how am I supposed to help people now? And he goes, "Well, you can help me." And I went, "No, I don't want to help you. I want to help all those other people," you know, and it made me kind of chuckle because he should have been my priority, you know, in that season. And in my mind, I'm like, I'm supposed to help all these young people and now I'm not. And I felt like in that season, my calling was taken from me, and it never was. It was the place of where I was doing it. And it wasn't like I was robbed of anything. I'm trying to say this in the right word. It was more like God was preparing my heart. I was getting uncomfortable in my spirit, right? Not in my job, but in my spirit. And God was actually preparing me. And I remember having dreams, like clear dreams of God just preparing my heart and just saying, there's something better and greater. But it's so hard when you're like, but that's going to take a risk. And so when this came unexpectedly and a door closed, and then I'm like, what do we do now? And another door opened later on, but there was a season of waiting. And I was just talking to one of my mentors tonight, and we're talking about patience in the waiting and surrendering what we think our timing is versus God's timing. And when God's timing did come for us, it was a while. But even then I began to question, God, is this your next step for me? Is this what we're supposed to walk into? And I was uncomfortable again. I'm like, but no, this is a little harder, or this is more risky in my spirit, or risky for me. And it was all when my husband really felt called with Hope Inspire Love. And to me, it was a little uncomfortable, but it was when I took that first step and I saw what was before us and I went, oh my word, this is God's plan. But it was after I took that step. And so often we all want to wait for God to give us that answer. We're always like, okay, God, just tell me what I'm supposed to do. Like, this door closed, what door is supposed to open? Or God, what do I do if that door doesn't open and it closes again? And yet we're not willing to take that first step initially to say, I'm going to take that risk because, Lord, I trust you and you're leading away. And then when we do that, I feel like then we hear from the Lord, because it's kind of like we're saying, okay, I trust you. It's like Peter when he walked on water, right? It's like God's saying, do you trust me? And he's looking down. He's like, there's no way this can happen. But he's like, if you keep your eyes on me and you step out, look what I'm about to do. And so the miracle didn't happen until he stepped out. It wasn't in the boat. It was when he got on that water. And I just feel like so often we're so fearful of taking those risks or those steps because we think our family, our finances, oh my word. If I learned anything, when one door closed, it made us rely on the Lord for everything, that we could take other steps later on in life and risks because of what we went through. And if we hadn't gone through what we went through and that door closing, we wouldn't be able to take the steps of faith that we are in today. And so I thank God for that, even though it was hard and it's not easy at times, but we can always look at those closed doors and be reminded of what amazing doors God is about to open in the future.
I love that. It's like dependency on him. I love that it reminds you of the dependency we have in him. And I think that's such a sweet spot, you know. If I think of my own life, of times where I felt like, oh, like I'm in this moment of just humbleness. I think it's a moment where you're just humbled and you know this next step or this next thing that I'm gonna walk through that I'm waiting on right now has to come from you. And we know in our spirit that it won't be right unless it comes from him. So we know we need to not have ourselves do it, but him do it. But you're right. When he says to go, we must be obedient to that and walk through that threshold.
Yeah.
And I love that you did that. So then tell me, the movement of Hope Inspire Love came from a door closing. This is awesome. Tell everybody how this happened. Then I guess this transpired and what the meaning is behind it.
Yeah. So what's funny is when one of the doors closed for us as a couple, like my husband and I actually met working together, which was beautiful. And we had this beautiful season of loving college students and having them live in our home. But it was always seemed to be that we always had our door open for people that were going through things, right? And I would go to my husband and say, hey, you know, so-and-so is going through this. Can they stay with us? And before I would even have to say, can they stay with us? He'd be like, when are they coming? You know, or when do they need a place? And I love that God started our marriage that way, that it was already a heart of compassion. And us, like, he's a missionary kid from Chile. Everyone always stayed in his home. I grew up with a family that, you know, my sister's friends would stay with us, or Our house was a place that everyone came to. And I feel like God, you know, again, we have to look back through our history of life, right? How God brought us up, what we've gone through, and how he prepared us for that. And so as we were walking through this journey of we got to work together, we loved what we got to do, we served, we did outreach together, we did ministry, we went overseas together with college kids. When that door closed, I really feel like we're like, well, we still love college kids. Like, we want to reach them. And we thought we were going to open a coffee shop. And we were like, that's it. That's what God's preparing our heart for. And we had a building in mind. We had everything in plan, like what we were going to do. I had the opportunity of working at two different coffee shops to kind of see the big picture of like what a Starbucks does versus a church focused, you know, community impact initiative. And I was like, oh my word, this is what this would be like. And I remember saying like, man, my dream was so cool. But then when I was living in it of working there and like, well, how do I do this? And how do I do that? It began to not like be my dream anymore. It was kind of like, I still want this, but I don't feel like it's what's for now. And it's kind of like the Lord allowed me to walk through that season of the exploring what that was. But here we were like saying, okay, we're going to do this coffee shop. And during that same time, my husband was looking for another job and he was on his way to a job interview in Philadelphia. And he was on the train and then he went on to the metro. And when he was on the metro, he saw a young woman trafficked. And there's a whole story to that. I know we don't have a ton of time with all of that, but you can go to our website. His story is written so well. I always butcher it. He does it so much better. But he had an experience and he looked the young woman eye to eye. And when he did that, the trafficker saw that look and he grabbed the young woman and got off the next step. And when he experienced that, it took his breath away and he went to that job interview and he could not stop thinking about that young woman. And after that job interview, he was offered the job later on. You know, he was like, hey, he got the job, but he couldn't forget that young woman. And he came home and he said, I feel like God is shifting our focus. And wow. He said, what I saw today, I can't unsee. And there is a quote by, his name is William Wilberforce. And it says, you may choose to look the other way, but you can never say again that you did not know. And when he saw her and saw those signs, even though he didn't know enough of the signs, his spirit told him something was not right, but he didn't do something. And he never forgot that. And that quote that I just read to you, we have it on postcards. We have it in a lot of the little shops that we have around Lancaster County, because we feel that if we can bring more awareness to our community and we can help people understand the signs that he didn't see, how we can help other survivors in our community. So that's how we kind of started the heart behind Hope Inspire Love. It was because of my husband. And it's very rare that you see men starting the movement of anti-trafficking organizations. It's usually led by women. Yeah. And when he told me this, I said, no way. This is heavy. This is hard. Like, what are you talking about? I want to open a coffee shop, I think. You know, I'm still in that mindset of, well, no, but this is what we're supposed to be doing. And it's because it was hard. I was scared of the hard. And how often are we scared of the uneasy, uncomfortable things that are a risk, things that may change our family that we feel like we're fearful for our families or we're fearful for our marriages or so much unknown because we're not putting it in the hands of the Lord. But like the Lord allowed my husband to see that for a reason. So we can't dismiss what's put in front of us or what we see or what we experience because we don't want it to, we don't want to be uncomfortable, right? How often do we not want to be uncomfortable in situations? Right. So that's kind of where we started from as the basis. And this was his dream. And I literally will be honest, for a few months, I was very upset at the idea of this isn't what we thought. And then it was me meeting young people that were coming out of aging out of foster care system. There we go. I was like, what is that word? And they were in a home and I met these young people. And when I was able to talk to them about their worth and their value and understanding what trafficking looks like, these kids were in tears. The girls were in tears. The guys were in tears. And through that, and I can't share all their stories, but through that, there were a couple young people that were identified and that their situations were exploitation. And it was not notated before. And to me, it was like, this is why we're doing this, to help these young people feel seen and heard and loved and get them the support that they need. And I walked out that one day and I literally said, this is what we're called to, because I'm the people person. You remember, I'm called to love people. So when he's telling me this is what we're going to do, I'm seeing it from oh man, education, we're going to be speaking, we're going to do these things. But what about the people? And when I got to see the people behind the mission of what we're doing, because it's people over process, I went, this is what we're called to. And so that's where Hope Inspire Love came out of back in 2017. And we start with education and awareness. And that's why I said my heartbeat of this mentorship of what we get to do is because we're hands-on with survivors in our community.
Oh my goodness, community. Yeah. You touch on so many different things. It's like, what a big, big dream. And what a big, big thing you guys were able to tackle. I mean, I don't even know if I could tackle something that huge, but you're right. Like, education is so empowering. I think the more that you learn, the more you know, the more you understand, the more you understand, the more you want to do. And
Yeah.
I think that's just incredible. Like, I don't know. And to involve a community to do it. Community is such an important key role in any place that you go. Community sets the culture,
Yeah.
community sets the tone. And the more information you put out into the community, I mean, what it's like opening up locked doors, and opening up more doors for people to walk through
Yeah.
into love, like step through that door, they can express love and extend mercy and kindness towards others. And notice the signs. I love that quote, by the way, like that you put on postcards and things like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so meaningful. You're right, because I think, I don't know, when you walk through something probably like that, or I can't imagine necessarily, I can't think of an example right now in my own life, but yeah, you don't ever want to probably lose sight of that. I can't imagine.
I know that, like, for the one young woman in the children's home that was aging out, after we had left, she had stayed in contact with our organization, and we were doing a freedom walk that year in Lancaster, and she came with the house parent, and she was like standing at the front of the line, and I said, I can't believe you came. And she said, are you kidding me? You taught me, because of what happened to my in my life and what how much I'm worth, that I can be walking for somebody else that has been in my shoes or is still in the shoes that I came from. And she was in tears. The house mom was in tears. I think she was the house mom. I can't remember what her role was, but like, to see them come over an hour away
Wow.
to join us in this movement, it was all because she said, nobody ever talked to me about how valuable I am. And that just broke my heart. And that was like, that's where I get emotional. It's like, how many of us can say, do we feel valued? Do we feel worth anything? Do we feel loved and supported? And I feel like, Christ calls us to love.
Yes.
And on top of that, if we're not showing our love by showing someone that they are worth so much more than what society says or what culture, I mean, the way our culture has shifted, and our poor teenagers and what they're going through, our young kids, because of what society has done.
Yes.
And so when I see this young woman saying, I'm standing for somebody else, and it was all because someone, and it honestly started with a penny. I gave her a dirty penny. And I gave each girl in that house a dirty penny. And I said, when you see this dirty penny, what does it represent? Actually, I didn't say dirty. I said this penny. And they said, it's dirty. It's old. It has no value. There's no worth to it. You find them on the ground. People leave them at, like, grocery stores, so you take one or whatever. And I said, how many of you guys say that's you? That people have said that that's who you are. You're worthless. You're dirty. You have no value. And they all just began to cry. And I said, but that's not who you are. I said, you are worth so much more. You are worthy. You're powerful. And I replaced it with a penny bracelet. We sell these penny bracelets made by the Penny Story, which is really cool. The young woman, she went over and worked in Greece and worked with survivors. And it all came from her, a professor she had in college, that talked about a penny and its value. And she made these little penny bracelets, and the word worthy is stamped on it. And I said, so I want to take that dirty penny that I just gave you, and I want to replace it with what I see you as. And each girl got this little penny bracelet. And I said, I want you to wear this. And every time you don't think you're worth anything, or somebody tries to tell you your value has no meaning, you're going to look down at this penny and know that Amy says you're worth something. Now, I couldn't share my faith and say that it comes from the Lord, but the Lord is through me. And we had a whole team there praying. And it was so cool because, we're not allowed to talk about our faith, but I had a prayer team. And what was able to happen because of that breakthrough of them seeing that they were worth something was so powerful. And why we do what we do, because all of us can relate to that. All of us can go back to a time where we felt like we were seeking out somebody's attention, or the need of needing to feel accepted in a group of people or wanting just to be seen because no one else sees us, you know? Maybe they want them to see our hearts, our talents, all those different things, and we're not. And so we can all relate. You don't have to be a survivor or a victim to understand worth and value.
No, I love that because so much of today, I feel like it's like attention, attention, like what you see out there, attention, attention, and there just can never be enough. I think, you know, there's just always, we want more and more and more and more, right? But really the gold in all this is to know our worth in Christ. And I think the more I tell myself like, okay, if I'm making a decision or if I'm thinking of something, I'm like, oh, why is my mind on that? I hear the Lord say, where do you find your value? Why do you care what
so
those people
true.
Think? Or what do you care about that? Like, look to me. I'm your peace. I'm your comfort. I'm your shelter. You dwell in me and I dwell in you. Let's go, girl. Like, pick it up, you know, pick yourself up.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think, but you're right. So often we can get distracted by the things that pull our attention. And the darkness, you know, we can speak to that. You know, like you said, you just spoke to all those girls and what dark clouds probably came up and what a breakthrough of light that shined on them because of your compassionate heart. They were able to trust you. I think building a rapport of people around you, you know, valuing a person, a little might go a long way is what I'm gathering from what you experienced. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? Have you felt that a little bit goes a long way in your community and how Hope Inspired Love has helped others? Do you see
that? I think so often, you know, because people hear, oh, you're working with survivors, man, that's such a heavy job. And man, what you do has to be so taxing. And one of my biggest joys of what I get to do is when I can tap into troopers that are on the front lines or attorneys. And like I work with the Deputy Attorney General's office and a couple undercover cops that are on the front lines is when I can just text them and say, how are you doing today? How can I be there for you today? And I had one of the DAs, she literally said to me, how do you have so much faith? How do you, like, every time I talk to you, you're so chipper. Like, you know, I just don't want to get off the phone with you. And it's been like this awesome opportunity where not only do I get to pour out to these young women that are in their healing journey, but I get to pour into these people on the front lines. Like before court, I said to one of the attorneys, I was like, can I pray for you? I was like, I don't know if you're a believer, but like, or have faith. And she goes, I don't care. I need it right now. You know, and was allowing me to pray with her and survivors allowing me to pray with them before they go before their perpetrator, their trafficker, to testify against them. And I was like, there's the boldness that I have, right, in Jesus. And I, you know, I don't push my faith on anybody, but to be able to not just come along survivors in their healing journey, but to encourage and empower those that are on the front lines doing the work that like we work together in this. And it's like, I see you, you're valuable. Cause if you're not doing what you're doing, cause I had one person literally say, I, you know, am I doing enough for these women? I feel like it's not enough. And I said, what you did today, like she may not notice it today, but I saw it. And the people in the court saw it. You know, those are the things that bring me joy in the work that I get to do is to speak life over people that are broken and speak life over the ones that are in those dark clouds every single day. And so that's why, like, so each step, like the little steps, those little moments of just a text of saying like, hey, how are you today? How can I encourage you? How, you know, and if they're open to faith and I say, how can I pray for you? Oh, that's fun. Cause when they come back with like, oh yeah, actually, could you pray for this? You know? So those little moments. And then with survivors for us, it's those moments where, texting tends to be when they like to come out with everything. You could be with them for hours and then all of a sudden later they'll text you and be like, so after today, and then they want to process their whole life. And what's crazy is when you've learned to have boundaries with survivors in your in relationship and being healthy, is learning to sometimes just let them be. And sometimes they'll have a question and you don't answer it the way they want. So you like give the question back to them and they answer it for themselves. And then they're like, oh, wow, I figured that out. And you're like, yes, you know, you're seeing those little goals accomplished in their lives through a text where you think, oh, wow, it needs to be a 2-hour session or it needs to be going and doing an activity. but it's about being present, and it's about acknowledging them and letting them know they're heard and they're seen. And so sometimes those little things in our lives are just being willing to pick up the phone and respond, or it's being willing to say, I love you so much, I will talk to you tomorrow because you're not in a good headspace, you know, and learning that I can shut down because I still have a family, I still have a life, and that I have to learn to be able to separate what I do full time. Actually, it's like a 24/7 job, but giving margin so that we're healthy. I kind of went off track there, but I hope that like
No, I love that because boldness is like everything you do is steps of boldness, but intentionality. I feel like you just weave it back to and from, and as well as extending that mercy and that love and that continuation of just valuing other people and their time. I think that's so important. You guys, I just even want to say, like, take a moment, like, think about somebody today that you want to ask, how can I pray for you today? Because I think all of us need somebody who, like, we all have baggage. We all have things that we wear, or, you know, an anxiety and worries and about our kids or what test or whatever, like, we have going on, schoolwork or, you know, I'm speaking of it as a grad student, but like, I'm just thinking, I'm like, I don't know, like, maybe you have a lot of things going on. And man, if somebody were to say, can I pray for you? I think that'd be like a weight lifted off my shoulders, or things that I'm worrying about, even if it's what's for dinner. You know, I think it's really important that we just extend that message to somebody that they're valuable. With what you have to pray for is valuable. And so yeah, definitely you guys text somebody today, call somebody today, maybe even your mom, your dad, whoever.
That's so
But make sure
true.
you let somebody know that they're loved today, because I think that's just the end goal for what you do, Amy. And it just encourages me to want to do more of the same, more of that, because we need more people like that. And in this world and in our communities, I mean, think about just, you know, if you see somebody and you just feel led to pray with someone, like what an impact that can make. Like you said, you didn't really know if the attorney was a faith-based or not, but you know, you're going into a scary situation and you were like, hey, can I pray with you? Like, that's good. Like, I think who knows? And what, maybe they say no, but 10 times out of 10, I bet they say yes, right?
I've never had someone say no, never.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. I think we're so fearful of it, but if God's giving you that sense to say, why don't you ask? Be obedient, because you don't know what that's doing for the rest of their lives. You know what I mean? Like what they're about to walk into, or what that's going to do to shape the rest of their lives, because somebody saw them in their moment of fear and uncertainty, and you're coming with hope and peace and joy. You know, how can, why rob somebody of that? That's so important.
It is so important. It's so important. So keep walking through those doors of even brave, bold doors of just asking somebody, can I pray with you? Because I think God will honor that. I know that's not really something we were even going to talk about, but I love that you hit on that. It's so good. It's so encouraging. And, you know, having a nonprofit and being a mom and a wife and all the things, how do you know, how do you give yourself the margin? What are some things that you do that helps you not dry up the well, you know, that helps pour into the well, so to speak? So how do you do that, running a nonprofit and all that? Because I'm sure maybe there's some people out there, entrepreneurs, business, or maybe they want to hop on board and help you. I don't know. But how do you help yourself through this experience?
I surround myself with really good people. I've learned to, well, one, my whole faith and hope is in Jesus. If I am not grounded in my time with the Lord, if I'm not surrounding myself with people that, you know, speak the same language, right? That are speaking like truth and life and saying, Amy, are you taking soul care time right now? Are you taking self-care? I have the best mentor director on our team. She is one of my dearest friends through getting to work together. You know, she volunteered with us for 6 months and then came on staff this past year. And literally, we, her and I are both about like self-care and soul care. And we check in with each other. Like, hey, we know, I know that today you were with survivors all day. How are you? What's going on? And like finding that person that can understand and can connect with you, so that way you can separate your family versus work, is really important. That's really huge for me, is learning to find someone that understands the line of work you're in, that can like, so if you're an entrepreneur, you know, if you're an educator, like under, you know, teachers understand one another, you know, find somebody. Don't go home and unleash on your spouse. Like my husband and I are in this calling together, but we, like, even though we work together, our giftings are very different. So where I'm relational, he's like, get it all done, process and procedures, like it happens. And he's like, not the feely good person, you know, I mean, that sounds bad, but like he's a lover of people, but in a different way. And so I need to find someone that can fill my tank of understanding the weight that we carry with survivor stories. Because, you know, when you work with survivors, a lot of times it can be secondhand trauma from what they go through. So if we're not taking care of our mental health, our spiritual health, we're not going to be good for anybody else. So learning to balance, and this is still something I'm learning. Anybody that knows me will tell you, I'm a go. I just do all the time. And this season for me, and the word that I had like 2 years ago and this year, has been rest, but rest in a different way. Not resting my body, right? To take a nap or to go away on this luxurious vacation. That'd be amazing. But it's rest in the spirit, like rest in God and what God intends rest to look like. And how when we rest in him, it's to prepare us for what he has ahead of us. And so often we get lost in like, oh no, I need to find rest. Well, this year I want to get rid of the word busy, because I'm always like, oh, we're so busy. We're so this. And that's where I'm realizing I'm not giving God the time that he deserves, where it's not even about spending one-on-one time with him, but saying like, get rid of the word busy, because I did that to myself. Why do I want to make myself so busy? And so even though it's a new year and, you know, it's only been a few days, I've been intentional of stopping and watching what's around me. I remember somebody telling me at my wedding, the one thing you can do on your wedding day is to stop and take it all in, because it goes by so fast, right? And they said, so my one word of advice to you is, on your wedding day, just stop and like take mental pictures of everything you're experiencing. And I did that. And I still remember that to that day, where I remember where I was standing in our reception, and I was looking around, and I did it while my husband was saying his vows to me. And I remember looking at everybody and seeing tears in, you know, the people there. And I was like, this is why I'm taking it in. But how often do we stop and capture the moments of our children, of our spouse, maybe like a cute little smirk, maybe a friend, like you're seeing them realize something, you know, an aha moment. And then stop in the moment with Jesus. Like, have you stopped enough to actually hear him? Or are you so busy just doing your devotions or memorizing scripture that you're forgetting that you're not even having space to hear him? Hear his heartbeat, hear his presence, hear his embracing and proud moments of who you are. And so I think for me, it's very easy for me to get into the mode of, I have to prove ourselves. I have to prove our organization, prove what we're doing. You know, we're still that, you know, small grassroots organization making a mark in our community. And I want to help everybody, but I can't help anybody if I'm not spending time with the Lord. One of the survivors said to me one time, Amy, are you taking care of yourself? And I was like, why are you asking that? She goes, because you always tell me I have to take care of me. Mm-hmm. And she said, I said, well, why does that matter? She said, because if you're not okay, who's going to help take care of me? Right. And I went, wow. And she said, so I am being selfish right now. I need you to find time and rest, because if you're not healthy and you're not rested, I don't know who I can lean into. Mm. So that's what's my reminder. But it's not just for that survivor. It's for my family. My kids need that. My husband needs that. So that's kind of so rounded to bring that ball back in, is really that I need to still work on it. But what I'm learning is to soak in the moments and be intentional about just embracing moments of that rest, but also in the presence, being in the presence of where I am.
Yeah. And it might be uncomfortable, I think, at first, but I think you're right. The more you get to just let it go, it's kind of just, it's almost like a slow moving movie of just like looking around and just taking all in. I love the idea of the snapshots. That gets me. I love that so much. Yeah. Thank you, Amy. Those are all great things to help with, you know, burnout and that kind of thing. But I'm actually interested. So you do a lot of work with people who are, like you said, traumatized, and then you get that secondhand trauma and just scary situations. And I think if anybody this year is going to take some risk and go through an open door, that you're taking some risks, and maybe you have to help people with this incredible contagious love that you have as well. Where would somebody maybe start, you know, where did you begin? Cause it's a scary beast of a thing. So I think encouraging somebody is also educating somebody. So let's educate somebody today. Where would they start if they want to help and take this risk as well?
Yeah. I feel like, first of all, let's talk about our hearts, our mental health, our emotion. You know, I want to encourage people. Counseling is not a bad thing. You know, so many people think it's like the stigma. And I feel like we have to realize that we all need to take care of ourselves. We need to be healthy. And sometimes it's just nice to talk to somebody that that doesn't know everything, but then you can be like, here is really how I feel, you know? And so often when we can let layers peel back layers, it helps us heal and we can be better for other people. And so I'd encourage you, you know, if you, most people that have a heart for those that have been victimized or abused, they understand either trauma of their own or they've watched other people go through that. And so that's why it's so good to make sure you take care of yourself first. That's my number one line for people is like, take care of yourself. We have people go through our volunteer training and something triggers them, and we make sure they get the support that they need because we never want to re-victimize anybody, and we don't ever want people to know. It's kind of like evangelists that come into churches, you know, they come in and they leave, and if you don't have a pastor there to support you, you're never going to heal. And so we never want to bring up stuff in a community initiative and not like make sure you get the support that you need as well. So if you're saying, man, what you do, like helping those that have been victimized, those that are in their healing journey, like that just resonates, or people that are just broken, I'd encourage you, look around, ask your churches, say, are we involved with any organizations that are working with abuse or anti-trafficking, or find out what is in your local communities. That's what I always say, like it's always good to serve in your local communities. If your church isn't, say, hey, we need to get Hope Inspire Love here. The reason as I say that is that you want to, one, first hear Human Trafficking 101. What is it? What really is sexual exploitation and trafficking? And you know, so often people have these myths. You see the things going on around Instagram and social media about like cars being tagged with things and people following you around. And yes, that may happen, but honestly, that is not how most people are trafficked. And so let's, you know, you be educated on what does trafficking actually look like, realizing that it can be your daughter's friend, it can be your sister's boyfriend, it can be a mother trafficking her child and a father. And so helping people identify what trafficking actually is, and how our youth are being lured into this through social media and what that looks like. So do a Human Trafficking 101, learn what that is. And if you're saying, man, I have a passion to help people, for me, I always try to find opportunities of like, how do I serve? How do I get involved? We have various ways where people can learn about what our mentoring program looks like, and we give you all the trauma training because we don't want to set you up for failure. You know what I mean? Like, we want to make sure you understand what trauma looks like, how you support somebody through trauma, and have a really great mentoring director over you and coach that's like literally pouring into you so you can help survivors. And so what I tell people is like, for some people, we have volunteers that literally love to open the door, greet people, help us with big events, and they don't want to be with survivors because that scares them or they're uncertain. But then what's funny is a lot of times they don't even realize they're right brushing shoulders with one of the survivors we work with. We just don't tell them. And the reason we do that is we want a survivor to feel normal and human and feel like everyone else, that they're not being identified by what happened to them, but they're being identified as my friend. They're being identified as one of our volunteers. And what's beautiful is when later on, if this survivor feels like they can share and they tell this volunteer, oh, actually, I'm one of the survivors, the volunteer's like, wow, I could work with the survivor. You know, so many times we feel like we're ill-equipped. Like, if we haven't gone through it, how can we help somebody? Do
Yes.
you know the best thing we can do is just have a listening ear?
Wow.
And we can just be like, the best mentor is one that can sit and listen and just be present and say, you know what? I wish I had the answer for that. I don't, but I love you. I
Yeah.
see you. You're valuable to me. And I'm so sorry you had to go through that.
Yeah.
How
So
often do we
important.
not want people to give us the answers, right? Like, you know,
Yeah,
if
for
you
sure.
share with a friend like your drama, and then they're trying to solve it for you. You're like, I didn't ask you to solve my problem. I just asked you to be here, right?
Don't need to fix it.
Yeah. So I think so often we feel like we have to be fixers. And I think what God has taught me in this last 2 years is that I can't be the fixer. He's the fixer. And if anything, I can just be and be present in people's lives. So for people that have a heart and say, like, man, what you do resonates, like right now we're launching working with minors in our community. And so often people, you know, think that this is an international problem or it's only for women that are prostitutes or strippers. And guys, this is happening to our kiddos. This is happening to youth. And they're being lured in such evil ways and such innocent ways that they don't realize what's happening to them. And then when they do, it's too late and they're like, how do I get out of this? And you know, we're picking up the pieces with them. And so often it's just people that want to say, God, here I am, use me, and let me just be able to be present and love people and meet them where they're at. And so I just encourage people, hey, if you're saying this is too heavy of a topic for you, or this is too heavy of a mission to be called to, at least learn about it. Learn about what is human trafficking, how to be a voice for the voiceless, how to stand up and fight for the injustice that's going on around us. Because no, you don't have to work right alongside a survivor, but you can be supporting us in prayer and being a voice in the community and helping other organizations right in your own backyard.
Absolutely. And I think even like donations and things, right? So when a survivor comes to you, they need like essentials. Am I right? Like they need certain things, right? So what would be some hot topics that are hot things that they search for when they, okay, first they get rescued, so to speak, you know, what are some things that they need that we can help?
Yeah. Yeah. So one cool thing, I'm going to give a short little story of a young woman. She was actually labor trafficked from another country to here. And I literally said to somebody, I was like, well, what does she need? And they're like, well, you work with sex trafficking survivors. I'm like, no, we work with survivors. What does this young woman need? And her shoe size was like a kid size because she was so malnourished from what she had been through. And I'm sure she was also sex trafficked as well. It's like, again, it was in the courts and everything. And so I said, what are some of the basic necessities that she could need? And we told a small group, like, here's a list of items that she would want. And it was like hair care products and like a head wrap and some shoes, like real sneakers, not like crappy little slip-on shoes. And there was another thing. And then we got her a Walmart gift card and a Target gift card so she could shop on her own, because for so long, everyone else controlled what she had. And one time I was sitting with one of the survivors we worked with. Yeah. And it was cool because that small group, like within 2 days, got everything. And I was able to hand it over to this other organization to say like, hey, I know she's, you know, here in this one place, but we wanted to take care of all this stuff. Wow. And they're like, what? You know, you're going to do that for us? And they had not heard of that because everyone always expects things and we didn't. And the other thing too is, you know, when I asked a survivor one time, I said, you know, what are some of the things you wish you had? You know, like, especially in those hard days. And she said, honestly, a cozy blanket, a cup of coffee, a nice mug, lotion, you know, something that smells good. You know, it's the simple, like soft socks. It's the simple things that survivors like. And so very often we're working with survivors. They've already been rescued. They're now needing support. And so for us, when we get together with them, it's like, if one of the young women is moving into an apartment, we want to gift her a gift card so she can go shop and get her own like pillow and her own comforter. And we had one business donate all these home decor items, but we let her go pick out like what she wanted. And she loved it. You know, it was her first apartment, right? And she was like, all of this is mine. But it wasn't like charity, right? It wasn't like we filled up the whole house. I mean, we did fill her fridge, you know, with food. So very often, like, we'll give gift cards to the young women to be like, hey, like, I know this month has been hard, like, with this going on. Here's stuff for groceries, or here's something for Target, or, oh, my word, you know, I knew you wanted to get a perfume. So it's those little things that we, you know, we'll just go out and buy and don't think anything of it. But because they were never able to buy anything, or there was a hidden agenda behind buying things.
Sure.
Yeah, that has been it. We have girls that have done like financial classes with us where they start working on their budget because they've not been good with finances because they never had their own money. And so at times we'll say, hey, because you got to here, here's a gift card, or here you can get something from like an essential oil, or you can get a Bath and Body Work product, you know, depending on what they're looking for.
Wow.
So that they get, it's like a reward, right? So you think of pregnancy centers where if you go through one of their classes, you get diapers or formula. We're doing it in a way that says, hey, I'm so proud of you, man. You stuck with your mentor for like 6 months. You want to go out and do something special, you know? So for us, we're always saying if people want to donate, we love gift cards. And I don't mean it in a vain way, but it's like, it's our way to say like, we can take one of the young people out, or we can take one of the women out, or we can gift them something. Because sometimes when we buy too many things, like, we think it's what they want. And because they're used to like secondhand things or people giving them instead of them choosing, we're robbing them the opportunity to learn independence and something for themselves. Does that make sense?
I love that. And you say get out. So are they, where are they? Like, once you rescue them or help them, support them in your community, is there a particular, a safe house or something like that? Maybe I'm saying it wrong, but what do you mean by that?
So Yeah, so rescuing comes from like the law enforcement, the undercover cops. We don't do any rescue. So, we are advocates. We are advocates for survivors once they've been identified. And so a lot of people think of rescuing too, like you're going in with SWAT and you're like, haha, we're gonna go get them. And now they're rescued. And reality is, this can be the girl sitting next to you on the train, at a bus stop, at the Wawa, at a coffee shop. And so some women aren't even identified. Like they, if you start sitting down with them and they tell you your story, you're like, oh my word, this boyfriend's manipulating them. This is like a narcissist. This is like, when we look at it as just control, and then you realize, wait a second, the exchange of goods, it's stealing somebody's freedom for the exchange of goods. It's force, fraud, and coercion. If any of those things are done, if somebody's forcing you to do something against your will and they're receiving payment for that, that is trafficking. Exploitation, I tell young people, if somebody's saying to you, send me a nude picture of yourself and I'll buy you your next meal, or I'll get your nails done, that's exploitation. They're exchanging a service for something sexual. And so we have to educate our young people better, right? We need to explain why they're so valuable and their bodies are so special and not meant to be exposed to other people. And so for us, helping identify that and see that, and then allowing people, so when these young people are either identified in the system, it's not a big rescuing thing. It is literally just saying, hey, they've been identified. Can we match them with one of your team members? And when we meet with them, a lot of times we don't even bring up their story. It's not that place. We know their information, but it's like, hey, would you like to go get a milkshake? Hey, you want to go for a hike? Hey, you want to go work on your homework? And it's building a friendship and being a mentor to them and helping them navigate life and just do life with them. And so for us, and if it's other women, so you're saying, like, are they in a safe house? Well, if they're a youth, usually they're either with another relative, they're in a children's home, they're in youth intervention. So they're not in a home. There's some people that are in they're in residential facilities. It's not a safe home, but it might be for mental health, it might be for physical issues. And then some might be in a drug rehab center, and then other ones are in safe homes. So there are safe homes around Pennsylvania, but m at max, residents should there should only residential facilities should only have about 6 to 8 women at a time due to everyone's trauma. So there's not many places that have residential facilities and have room for these
Oh
survivors.
my
But then
goodness.
you have survivors that they're already on their own. They're already doing life. They may have a family. They may have a kid that they have to take care of. We've worked with women that are married, so people assume like, oh, they're rescued and they're, now they need a place to stay. This could have happened to them years ago, but it's now coming out because of maybe an investigation or the trauma has surfaced and they understand why it's happened. So we have to realize not everybody needs those facilities. They need somebody that can go beyond facilities. So we need those facilities, but we also need people that can meet people where they're at as well.
We need hope, inspired love, right? I think we need
Yeah.
more of that. Just all of it sounds so amazing and contagious. Like, I want to give that same hope, inspired love. Like, it literally, you could not have named it anything better, because it literally, once you see the hope, well, for me, I look at it this way, because I think different things can mean different things to different people. But when I look at this, I'm like, the hope of Jesus inspires me to love. And that's like,
Absolutely, yes.
I don't know if that's where it all comes from. I mean, just to come full circle to the name, it's just beautiful. And it really does. I couldn't have pictured it better in Luke and in the Bible, where it talks about the parable of the Good Samaritan. And Jesus said he answered the people with having them. Hold on, I want to get this right, because it was so good when it popped out to me, you guys. I loved it so much. He said, which of these three things, or which of these three do you think provoked to be a good neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Like, listen, we fall sometimes. We fall. We can fall hard. I don't know where you are at in your story, who's listening today. I don't know if you just came across the Be Encouraged podcast for the first time and this just landed right there. Maybe it's welling up with a lot of emotion in you. And I don't know where you're at, but I do know that there is mercy for you. I do know, because Jesus said, the one who showed mercy to him, he said, that is the good neighbor. her, go and do the same. Jesus told them to go and do the same. You are doing the same. You have that. And I think that's not inspiring. I don't know what is. Like, Jesus, you don't have to be a Christian to, like he said, the Samaritan didn't even know, how, you know God. He wasn't even Jewish. And there he was doing the right thing for the person. I think if we have the right heart and seek, you know, how we can help others, I think why not, right? Be inspired to be compelled by love. I think the more we do that, the more we show mercy where maybe you don't think that somebody deserves it. Maybe you think you look at somebody and you're like, oh, they look fine. They look well fed, but maybe you want to pay them forward of their coffee. Who knows what their backstory is? I think that's the point.
Yeah.
You don't know somebody's backstory. So pay it forward in some small way today, tomorrow, make that your New Year's resolution. I don't know what you want it to be, but love on somebody today and love on them, press on, open the door, you know, pray for somebody. I think these are all things and get to know, get to be encouraged by the education that Amy put out here today. Look for things yourself, you know, to be educated yourself so that you can help others around you to be more equipped, to be more empowered themselves, your kids. Yeah. I mean, come on, maybe you have a teenager. I've got a teenager. This is hitting home where I'm like, okay, taking notes, exploitation. This is this, you know, like I need this. I need a 101. Yeah. And it doesn't take much time to do, you know. I bet if you were to reach out to Amy and an email and be like, hey, listen to this Be Encouraged podcast. Can I find out more information? She'd send some great information. And I'll definitely put the Hope Inspire Love website there for all of us today. You know, you are such a light, Amy. What you do is important. Mm. You need to know that you are valuable too. Like what you do, what God's pressed on your heart, your husband's heart. I'm sure it takes a toll. It takes a toll. But the Lord, he says to come to me, all who are heavy laden, burdened, he'll give you rest. And that is your word, rest. So just reminding us all, we have rest in Jesus. And thank you, Amy, for reminding us of that sweet, sweet love that we have in him. So, oh my gosh, I just love it. Thank you for just being a light.
Yeah. Can I share one scripture as we end out too?
Yes, you know, I'd love to. Go girl.
You know, so often we feel like we're not equipped and that we've got our own struggles and our own mistakes and our own failures. And I think that we live in those and the enemy uses that to silence us. And, it, you know, in 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. And so no matter where you are in your journey of faith today, wherever you are and you're feeling like you're not enough or you're not equipped or you still struggle with things or you're blaming yourself for past. And so often survivors that we work with don't feel it's their fault. What happened to them is their fault. And it's like so often we have to realize that grace wins. Grace is above all else. You know, we tell the young women like grace wins in this situation. It's grace upon grace, you know, and it's like, how often if we can just sit and realize like he has taken that and he sees us in our weakness and he wants to use us there. Like I am nowhere close to perfect. I am beyond weak, right? And it's through my weakness that God gets all the glory because it's not Amy. It's him in me. And that's where I love when in where I am in my brokenness, it's like, God, you've got to go before me because I'm tired or I'm overwhelmed or I'm this. And it's like, he shows up big. But when I think I've got it all together and I can do it, I'm like, dang, that wasn't as good as I thought it was because I didn't allow Christ to be there. And so remember, grace wins. Grace is above all. And he is there and he wants to meet you in your weakness. So allow him to be there.
Allow him to be there. That's so true. Allow yourself even the time to just be present, like you said, with him and just serve him. I think you said something really important there, Amy, that, you know, it says in his word that we can't serve two masters. And just so much to what you were talking about, to sex trafficking and all of this. And, you know, we have to humble ourselves before the Lord because there's freedom in him. He is the great, you know, leader of our lives. And I think that's really important to remember if you're going to knock down some big doors or open up some big doors that he will guide you through it. And that if you try and serve yourself and what you think, it may not look or feel as good as what God has for you. So keep pressing onward, you guys. Thank you so much. Any last words of encouragement before we wrap this up here, Amy?
Well, for those of you that listen, because I can talk, thank you. I get passionate and I just want to encourage you, no matter what God's calling you in the season, have open hands. Don't have closed fists. Open your hands to what God may have for you in this new year. Don't be standing behind fear or feeling like you're not enough or you're not qualified. He calls the unqualified. Look it through scripture. Nobody was qualified in the roles that they were called to. And so if you can recognize that and be humble and just be willing to say, God, my hands are open. I'm allowing myself to trust you to walk through the doors that are open in front of me. And when the door closes behind you, stop looking back. Keep your eyes forward, because that door was closed for a reason, and it's going to do nothing good for you to keep focusing on what's behind you, because you're going to miss what's ahead of you. And so just guard yourself for what God has. And if you have a passion for anything, if God is saying, man, as we're talking today and God's speaking to your heart, saying, man, remember that back then that I had, you were passionate about, or you got emotional when you heard people talk about a certain subject. Or even today, if you're saying, man, what you just talked about resonated some of my past hurt or pain, or man, this is like resonates why I want to get involved in this movement, do something. Don't just say, oh, this felt good. My challenge to you is now take that next step. Don't just sit, because remember what I said about that quote earlier, you may choose to look the other way, but you can never say again that you did not know. So now do something.
Yes. I think that's it. If you want to grab a pen and paper after reading this, don't, or after you're listening to this, I mean, do it. Go back and listen, jot some things down. What would be some action steps that you could help somebody today and show some love, be inspired. Thank you so much, Amy. I love that open hand. You guys, we really could talk another hour, I think, but we'll let you off the hook here. And thank you so much for just coming on and being a light, Amy. We will, I can't wait for this to air, and everyone just be able to check you out on the show notes. And I will put the link in there for everyone to see. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Jackie. You're the best.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to episode 105. If you really like this, go ahead and over to Apple Podcast and write a raving review. You can even give it 5 stars and rate the podcast if you really enjoyed listening to the conversation today and all the conversations here at the Be Encouraged Podcast. I hope you all have a wonderful week, and don't forget to check out the show notes where you can find more information about our guest speaker today. Have a great week, everybody, and be encouraged.